the heart and soul of racing. RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Welcome back to a special edition of Racing Pulse. We are live from Caulfield. It's been a wonderful breakfast out here this morning with a number of the MRC members counting down to Victorian Owners and Breeders Day, the huge $1 million showdown on the weekend. More than $2.5 million in prize money. And we've got a couple of special guests who are joining us. Matt Stewart is back. He's got plenty of news and he's going to stick around for the next 15 or so minutes because it's always great to have a chat to Anthony Mithen from Rosemont. How are you, Mitho?
Good, Mickey. Yeah, going really well. Looking forward to Saturday. It's a big day and it's growing each year, which is very exciting for all Victorian participants.
Absolutely. Rosemont's one of the major heartbeats of breeding in Victoria, and it is about breeders and owners. And Sammy Lyons from Grand Syndications has been getting plenty of owners in over the last few years, and he's got some superstars to talk about as well. How are you, Sammy?
Good, Michael. Thanks for having me. Chilly morning, but good to be here.
It was a chilly morning, but it was a beautiful morning. Getting to watch a few horses work out here at Caulfield as well, and a lot of members out here. Did you recruit any into some syndicates?
I don't know. I hopefully did, but it was a good morning. Got to chat to a few people. Hopefully I gave them a winner next week, and they can parlay that money into a share.
Hey, hang on. Gave them a winner. You absolutely declared one. And I hope you're going to do that for the RSN listeners as well, Sammy. The cheer that went up.
Really?
And he's given them the winner on the basis that they'll parlay those winnings straight into Grand Syndication's next superstar, which was very smart of you there, Sammy.
Well, and it could be another one we've bought from maybe a Seamus Award, like It's Me, mate.
Yeah, who knows?
A little bit of a wrap.
Yes. Well, yes. Do you know what? Keep listening.
Yeah,
because
we're going to tease.
We are going to frog march.
Look at Matty over there. Yeah. Matty's already on the fixed odds over the back here.
I was just thinking, I brought my 17-year-old along, and because Sam's previous career is sort of quite eye-opening. I haven't told Ollie what Sam used to do for a living, but I'll tell him in the ad break and just
say how would you explain it to Ollie?
He used to get on stage, Ollie.
Careful.
No, I'll tell you in the ad break.
Hey, Matty, before we get into talking to the boys about this weekend, you got a bit of news at the moment?
I'm glad these lateral thinkers are here, because I want to run this news, this little item by both of you. Like, I know there's no ceiling with Sam, and the one with Mitho's pretty high as well. Rachel Blackmore, how hard should we go to try and get her to come out here and ride at one of our big race meetings? I know Warrnambool's going to be too hard because it clashes with Punchestown. Ruby Walsh came out here in 2015, who was of the same legendary ilk. And I spoke to Mike Simons yesterday and even Brian Kruger about this idea of how hard would it be to entice this legend now, Rachel Blackmore, biggest, most significant victory in the history of horse racing, what she achieved at Aintree, to get her out for Ballarat for the Grand National Steeplechase meeting, a little big carrot to get her out here, promote the hell out of it. It's the jump season in England, that stage has really wound down. It's not too ambitious to try and get the legend Rachel Blackmore out here, is it?
I'm just staggered at the common sense that's come out of your mouth. that's the bits that's
before,
staggering.
That's right, just down the time and date.
Yeah.
It's before midday.
It just makes sense, Matty. Why wouldn't you?
I need Sandy McGregor to answer a text, because Sandy McGregor is probably the man that can make it happen. So pick up your phone, Sandy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It just makes complete sense. And it's off the back of their season. We wind up. She'd surely love to be here and be part of it. It promotes the sport, promotes jumps racing, good cross promotion.
Ruby Walsh described his win on Bash Boy. It was an epic win, albeit being Thubian, as one of the greatest highlights of his career. So there's an appetite for the... As much as it's a famous race, Aintree, the remuneration over there isn't... You know, if you said, hey, here's the carrot, this is what it is. Mm. Thanks, Mr. McGregor, or someone else.
Yeah.
And I think the promotional opportunity...
Well, thanks, Victorian prize money.
Yes,
exactly. I mean, you're 5% of the quid that's being offered for some of those rich jumps prizes should be enticing enough to jump on a plane and do your 2 weeks quarantine. And even though you're suddenly the biggest name in world racing at the moment, that's for sure. It's a Quinella bet, isn't it? Her and Jamie Carr.
Well, I was thinking Jamie Carr will probably be riding at Warrnambool. If you could get Rachel Blackmore, you imagine Rachel Blackmore and Jamie Carr on the same program. Unbelievable.
It's phenomenal.
I'll book her for Runaway. Can I book her for Runaway right now? Gay Waterhouse train?
Well, you might. Well, that would be good, but you might have a task, because she has already ridden for Kieran Maher. Rachel Blackmore rode Big Blue over in the UK. So there might be a connection there. So you might be having to fight for it. Yeah.
Johnny Sadler touched on something that Mick Kent was the major pillar of his column that he put in last night, was the track rider shortage. The main reason is the funnelling system of apprentices. I know Matty Hyland disagrees with this, and it's interesting to hear his perspective as well, and I will talk to Matt Hyland about why opening up the numbers for the apprentices school is not a cure-all for track staff, track rider, jockey numbers, but then a lot of them parlay into educated track staff. So Mick Kent has penned a column for us addressing the issue, basically on the lines of how difficult it will be to find the next Jamie Carr with the system we have in place, with an intake of just 5 apprentices a year. Say 2 of them aren't any good, most of them are female. You have a very narrow opportunity to create the next wave of jockeys, especially given the next intake is 12 months later. So have a read of Mick Kent's column. It suggests a 6-monthly intake, a bigger intake, a sideways education of them as well, where they, if they don't become jockeys, they might become very qualified track jockeys.
But what about some funding for some organisations like Lindsay Park that are running their own track school? I mean, that's what we've got to look at. We've got to actually almost privatise this and say there's funding available if you're prepared to put in the hard work and the training hours for these staff, with obviously some sort of overarching training system or education course that they can be put through that's governed by RVL or the racing body. I think that makes sense, doesn't it? Go to these mega stables and say we'll help you, and then it'll trickle down from there. Those that then want to go to a smaller stable, but they've had their training at a Lindsay Park type setup, a Kieran Maher type setup. That's our opportunity, I reckon.
I think the training centre is probably, rather than individual stables, target, say, here's Cranbourne. So Cranbourne's very enthusiastic.
It's a very big operation, though, then.
Well, but it's still a micro way of dealing with that, as opposed to how do we cure the track rider shortage in Australian racing. If you bring it down to the level, okay, well, let's bring it down to the level of training centres and work out if we can do it on that level. I know Cranbourne's quite keen, and Matty Hyland's idea is, he said that there's a lot of ex-jockeys out there who can teach kids how to ride. Why don't we sort of get our head around how we can do this and where we do this? But you might be right, Mitho. It'll either work at the level of stable or the slightly bigger level of training centre. Sammy, any thoughts on this?
I was going to go the opposite. I was going to say the number of jockeys potentially at the moment's huge. It's do we have too many jockeys? And when we're talking about doubling apprentice intakes and stuff, and you know, I'm sort of behind. Yeah. That education.
Well, there's 150 jockeys in Victoria, and Racer Victoria thinks that's too many.
Yeah, and I'm speaking from having a conversation with a well-known jockey very recently about that exactly, and that was his opinion. And they certainly feel that. Is there, how many jockeys do we need? And like you say, 150. That's probably as many as you'd want.
If it's as much an education to become a track rider as a jockey, maybe if it's more of an umbrella education system where they can go in different directions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, that's what it comes down to, I think. I think that's the goal. We need to be educating across those things, and not just that those apprentices need to be going through to be race riding, because when jockeys race until they're how old generally? Like, it's something once you're in, they stick around for a long time.
Yeah. The females drop in out very quickly because of simple things like getting married and having kids. The blokes can do that and continue their careers. The women, it's a very big interrupter to their careers most of the time.
Well, this morning, you'll have a listen to some of the interviews I recorded a little earlier out at Trackwork this morning, and it was the hot topic in the trainers' hut, and I'm sure it is at most training centres here in Victoria and even beyond, about what they are going to do, crying out for more staff, and in particular qualified
Just change the hours. It's really simple.
I don't know if that's going to get an instant flow of
course it will.
Qualified, educated track work riders.
Well, that's going to take a little bit of time, but the amount of people that will apply for jobs that don't start at 3 a.m. will rise exponentially if it's a start time of 7 a.m. I mean, I'm very outspoken on this, that we need to have training centres. We need to treat it like it's a proper job, not the 1930s, where blokes used to train the odd horse in the morning before they went and did the bread run or the milk run or ran the local post office. These are professional people. We're dealing in a professional space, but we make them get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go and be that professional. Why? There is absolutely zero reason. People say to me all the time, who are ill-educated in racing and horses, do horses get up early? Is that why?
Well, we don't race them at 3 a.m.
No, of course they don't.
We don't race them that early in the morning.
It's an absolute nonsense that we close racing centres for 9 o'clock, so five track staff don't have to work early or late. As opposed to the 500 that get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I agree with you in a general sense, no doubt about that. But if you talk to Neil Bainbridge at Cranbourne, he'll tell you that we have so many horses to work, we have to do it
But it's closed at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll have a chat to Josh Blanksby because they did the trial with the keeping Mornington open later. So we'll have a chat to Josh a little later in this hour about that.
Hey, the Bulls. In an ironic twist, there's a COVID cap, but they might get their biggest ever crowd because what's happening, there's 12,000 each day. Normally there's a trickle on the Tuesday, as we know, then it gets builds on the Wednesday and then higher on the Thursday to about 12,000 to 15,000. But I was talking to Tom O'Connor down there and he said the appetite for Warrnambool is so intense that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there might not be this massive distinction between the crowds. Everyone's pre-buying tickets to go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So you know how we used to wander in Schleppy Mitho on the Tuesday, no one really noticed. We might have to
Get ourselves organised.
Upgrade.
Yeah, you're saying that
with another
don't
one of those
go.
Rosemont jackets. Actually, do you have a spare?
we're just glad that this isn't vision at the moment because, Matty, you are dressed like you could well be sleeping in Flinders Street.
Fellgate said, thanks. It's actually very volatile times at work at the moment. I didn't know that at all. So Fellgate said to me last night, he said, can you get to Caulfield tomorrow? And I thought, yeah, fair enough. And that's all I knew. So I thought it was just to, you know, muck around. Hey, Sean Carroll was out there in the centre when I schlepped up to him in my Darrowy outfit, and he's the new integrity commissioner. And it was interesting having a chat to him about the investigation from his department into the circumstances of the Richard Lamming case with the behaviour of the stewards. He's going to be formalised next week, and he didn't give much away, but he said it will be of interest, let's just say, what they assess to have been the events, the sequence of events there.
Tell us more, Matt. You must know something more. You've brought it up.
No, it just will be interesting.
Bloody hell, it will be.
Well, tell us something we don't know.
It'll be interesting in bold caps. Quite exclamation mark, but it'll be interesting.
Okay.
Well, just hold. You can wait. You've got patience.
All right.
You breed horses.
Yeah,
you breed that's right.
Patience. One thing that
South Australian Derby
is
going to be a blockbuster.
One thing that I think is good is that Sean's actually getting out here to the coalface and meet trainers and jockeys. So I think that's what more administrators need to do, and I know a lot of them do, but get out to training. Have a chat to the trainers, the jockeys out there, because you will hear firsthand what the biggest issues from their point of view is.
What a great idea. Wonder if they've thought of it.
And without Sean having said this, I do know that there's probably a suggestion that perhaps the skill level of the stewards to administer a very, very tricky job now in chasing down cheats, basically. Very, very difficult to navigate that course without having extremely good investigative powers. And maybe down the track we might see a return even to the days of the racetrack detectives. Who knows? So
this has all got very serious all of a sudden. One minute we're talking about...
This is not my jive.
As soon as Sam hears the word...
the penis, the next minute we're talking about integrity issues.
As soon as Sam hears the word detective, he gets into a muck lather.
I know nothing. I say nothing.
I was going to use a segue, but it's too early in the morning. Sam, I want to know about ownership, because Mytho's going to cover the breeding side.
I can get you in very cheap.
From the ownership, how strong is it?
It's great.
Owners knocking down the doors in this current climate?
Look, I think we were very lucky during COVID that with the racing industry continuing on, everything stopped. The sport was put in the shop window for a long time. And those maybe very casual fans may have got the opportunity to see a lot more of it and decide that, they want to be involved in it. I was talking to Simon Wild this morning about that exact fact. I think there's a lot of owners now coming out off the back of COVID and it's you got lots of inquiries, sales are good, and we're meeting a lot of people, a lot of first-time owners.
And, new customers?
Yep, lots of new customers. And, I think we're going to be strong for the next few years. And, look, especially in Victoria, it's a very inclusive state to race horses in. Prize money's good, the breeding side's good. You can win anywhere. It doesn't take much, that's probably the wrong thing, but anyone can come down on a Saturday and win. It's not dominated by anyone or not dominated by million-dollar I'm Invincible Colts or something like that. So they get
see
beat sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
How many have you got now?
Having a go at us for buying all those million-dollar horses anyway.
Didn't, you know, history didn't says feel the million-dollar ones end up
no,
pulling carts
around
the
stats,
botanical
Matt,
gardens.
I know all the stats, and to be perfectly honest, we've got a Colts package going at Rosemont, Sammy. You may have heard about it, and we're trying to race. Well, we're trying to race.
In a different pool, mate.
We're trying to race the future superstars, but we were trying to sort of play in that middle market, but the middle market suddenly became a very expensive market this year, which for whatever reason it's hard to fathom. But I got sick at being at the Easter sales. We bought a couple for seven figures, and the people that came up and congratulate you on spending $1 million on a horse that you don't know has got any ability yet.
It should be more a commiseration exercise.
They should be a straitjacket handed to you straight away.
No, I totally agree with that. So, but Sammy used to be the bargain basement man, and you've always been top end of town.
Oh, no, I
haven't. Ever since you left the realms of Ian Falgate and ventured off and became, you know. But Sam, you were always bargain basement, and it worked really well. Behemoth, classic example. But is it hard when you become more successful and more clients to stay in the bracket that you...
Everyone loves telling you, now you've had some success, you should buy some real horses, spend a bit more money. I was like, well, I don't. Behemoth would argue that he's a real horse. You know, it's me, Majestic Shot, the Kudelins, and the Man of His Words that we've had. You know, those stakes also we haven't paid anything for. So yeah, look, it is a bit tricky because people want you to spend more. Everyone's spending more.
I
don't think you need to. Exactly. We shop a certain market and we get good results. You know, we're winning good races and we're putting plenty of people in the winner's circle. I'm happy with what we're doing.
What are you doing with Buffett, by the way?
Behemoth, I think he means.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Mytho.
No.
I just didn't come down together.
Sorry, that was ambiguous. With Mytho there saying Buffett, I was actually referring to your horse.
He's on the way to the Goodwood, so markets went up the other day. He's a $4 favourite. G-Tra, second favourite, probably coming off a bit of surgery. So if he gets there, you know, he'll be hard to beat. If he doesn't, it's like he gets his chance to get over a couple of horror runs in the last two Goodwoods, but that's where he's headed. Likely first up, very small chance second up.
Mm. He made a very good point, Sam, at the breakfast here with the Melbourne Racing Club members earlier, that he's all about racing, Sam, and grand syndications, and you can pay a small price for just a nice horse, no pedigree, probably going to be a gelding, but just come racing with us and have an absolute ball for all this prize money that the various organisations are putting on for us, Racing New South Wales and Racing Victoria. Just come and enjoy your racing. Don't worry about your stud value or let's make a stallion. Leave that to the million-dollar babies, but go and shop nicely and buy a nice racehorse that you can just enjoy, because how many people just like having a punt and like having a share in a racehorse and going to the races with their mates, and that's the majority, thank goodness, here in Australia. That's what this industry is built on.
Particularly Victoria.
And they're the people who've got to look after.
I remember Sam and I, we had a really good chat. So, same sort of stuff that we often talk about on The Verdict, thinking about, and I've never been more sort of impressed with someone's lateral thinking about where racing's at, what its problems are, and how creative we have to be to sort of edge back into the mainstream and things like that. And I think the way you promote your horses and the website activity and all that sort of stuff, it doesn't hurt to come from a different angle on horse racing, as you basically have.
Yeah, and that's true. You know, you want to be able to break the mold a little bit and maybe think a little bit, as you say, laterally, a little bit differently, because we've been doing things the same way for a long time. But, you know, we're in an interesting position with the sport at the moment, and competition from everywhere else has never been as strong as it is now. You know, you need to change and you need to maybe think of a few different ways to be doing things. And, you know, I'm really happy with what we've been able to achieve with Grand Syndicates in the time that we have. You know, we'll just keep trying to punch around in that pool that we are and try and get as many new owners into the industry as we can.
Boys, we're running out of time, but we need to get some tips because you've got so many good horses between you. You mentioned Sydney. A bit of tension when there's so much money floating around that sales auditorium last week. And we had an interaction between yourself and Wally Dalziel, Mr. Quickie. I'll just remind you, this is how it went last week.
Mytho dropped the news with us earlier that Mr. Quickie's going up for the All Age.
Has he? To be discussed.
Oh, okay. There could be an ownership discussion here. Mytho's looking at me from the next table. He's not convinced, Mr. Quickie, for the All Age.
He's what? We're running him.
He's the boss. He said yes, did he? Hey, go and get James. I've just booked James McDonald, by the way, Wiley. But yeah, I just told him. He's on. Yeah, well, I told him that he should write it. And he said he had to check with an agent or something. I don't know. I'm not sure how all that works. But
So what's...
I forgot that happened.
Who's won the arm wrestle? Do we see Mr. Quickie here on Bovis Gold Day, or is he going to the All Age?
Now, poor old Wiley hadn't spoken to Stokesy at that stage, but I had. And Stokesy, who should be in charge, said, I reckon we might roll the dice in the All Age Stakes. 1,400, Group 1. $600,000 race. He's won at 1,400 in the Victoria Handicap. Why don't we look at that as an option? So Wiley hadn't caught up with that news, and we were sitting on different tables. And
sounds like you'll be sitting on different tables forever now.
Yeah. So no. So I spoke to Wiley this morning before I came on air, and Wiley Dalziel has done all the research and the weather maps and the whole bit, and he's got very serious about this All Age Stakes, and it looks as if the weather's going to hold out for us to run on a dry track on Saturday week up there rather than the mile here. Very tempting to run for that.
You know, he used to be a bare-knuckle boxer, don't you, Wiley?
Did he?
Yeah. Very short fuse. Doesn't like to be crossed. Doesn't like people to have different plans to him and so on. Take a photo of Mitchell's expression.
Okay. Will you take Jamie Carr to ride him in the All Age?
Unfortunately, Cascadian is also headed to the All Age Stakes, so I couldn't imagine you would get her off Cascadian after the deeds of those two on Saturday in the Doncaster. So we'll have a think about that. But Ben Allen, didn't he ride
Absolutely.
Him a treat?
Flying. He's flying.
Yeah. So
who have you got out here on Saturday?
Iconoclasm. So I could have said that Stokesy was running scared of Iconoclasm, the Vobis Star horse, but he'll run in the mile instead for us in the colours, and Thousand Wishes for Danny O'Brien also in the distaff. So looking forward to getting here on Saturday and seeing a couple fly around for the big prize money. It's a very exciting day, and it's building in momentum, and it's fantastic for all the Victorian breeders, and plenty of those Victorian stallion operators will be very excited about the showdown. And there's a little carrot for the stallion owners there. If you can be the winning stallion in of the race, the farm gets a little clip of the ticket. So unfortunately we don't have a rep, but plenty of farms around Darley, Victoria and Swettenham and Blue Gum and the like who do a fantastic job. They'll be cheering for their life, I reckon.
Absolutely. Quick update, Behemoth goes maybe first up into the Goodwood. What about It's Me? How's it going?
It's Me's probably still going through rehab, going very, very well. She's potentially 4 months from the races, but we're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's there. She's too good to let do a third tendon.
And the new star, Majestic Shot.
Majestic
four from
Shot.
Four tomorrow?
Never been beaten on a racetrack in the trials included. She runs tomorrow. She's at Hawkesbury. She steps up to sort of metro grade there, but she's been walloping them. Interesting to see how good she is, you know, times and that. People are telling, all the smarter people than me are saying she's, you know, another It's Me. We'll see how she goes tomorrow, and off the back of that she'll go to the Denise's Joy Stakes race.
Is this the moral? Is this the one that we're waiting for?
No, it's not. No.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, hang
I didn't
on.
I didn't say an M word. I don't say the M word.
Don't you? What
no.
did you say?
I said this will win.
I think you said won't get beaten.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Is that
about right?
Yeah, I'll scratch it.
Yeah. I expect this on Twitter in about 5 minutes' time.
I've got the...
Just for you if, follow, if you, you follow your... us, yeah. I'm not going to give you the name, but it'll be a first starter next week in SA, and we'll probably only have one. So keep your eye out. I don't want to lead across the water.
I like make the punters work for us.
I've got to let the owners get on.
Just to reiterate John Sadler earlier, you know how he said Sam's Image going well, had a few... I spoke to him yesterday, unsolicited at the end of a quite an interesting conversation. He said, Maddie, I have got one for you, son. I said, what? He goes, Sam's Image, never been going better. And then went on and on. I had to hang up on him. He was going on. So Sadler believes that Sam's Image is a total moral on Saturday.
Wow. He'll be happy with you. That is magnificent. If you want to get out to Rosemont Stud, Get out there. You've got an open day Friday?
We're launching our new stallion, Hanseatic, the son of Street Boss. He couldn't be going better, Street Boss. And we think he'll be a sire of sires. And Hanseatic should have won the Blue Diamond here on this very turf in front of us. But alas, bad luck beat him. And he's an absolute jet of a horse. Wait till you see him. He's a real two-year-old type. He's going to be very well sought after in the market. And we're tickled pink to have him at our place. And we'll be parading him at 11 o'clock at the farm. If any breeders out there would like to come down and have a look at him, light barbecue afterwards and refreshments. So just get in contact, if I can drop an email, office@rosemontstud.com.au to just book a spot to come and be part of what should be a great morning out
Sounds
there at
good.
Rosemont.
We can tweet your number out as well, so they can just get in contact
Terrific.
With you directly.
That's... I love the honest feedback of some of your listeners that
There's
I'm just looking
well.
Over the top there.
Yeah. We'll get to
the Rosemont hour. Someone's not happy.
We'll get a few SMSs read out a little later with Josh Blakesby. Hey, good to catch up with you, though. Good to see you, Sam.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks,
Maddie, we'll read all about it.
Thanks, Miguel. Thanks, boys.
.au. Time for a quick break. Special edition live from Caulfield. After this, we'll head out to the trainers' tower. I caught up with a number of jockeys and trainers earlier this morning.